I'm going to continue adding to the conversation about living in the promises of covenant, but what the Lord specifically talked, phrase he spoke to me specifically was called covenant confidence. Say covenant confidence. We must have confidence in the covenant that we have with God through Jesus. Covenant confidence is when we are completely persuaded of God's love towards us. It is the revelation that God is fulfilling his word in our lives and concerning all that concerns us. It is the recognition that God will demonstrate his power and is demonstrating his power. He is releasing his resources and he's moving in unprecedented ways to confirm his covenant and to use us as catalysts to establish his covenant further in the earth. Covenant confidence. I'll read that definition again. I know it's not on your screen. When we are completely persuaded of God's love towards us, it is the revelation that God is fulfilling his word in our lives and concerning all that concerns us. It is the recognition that God is demonstrating his power, releasing his resources, and moving in unprecedented ways to confirm his covenant and use us as catalysts to establish his covenant with other people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What the Lord has been speaking to me, he spoke several things to me. He spoke covenant confidence, but he also spoke to me about us being in transition. Not just as a house, but he was speaking to me about the body of Christ as a whole is in transition. People's lives are in transition. We are transitioning, people are transitioning emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically. And so during times of transition, we have to make sure that we are confident in covenant because things can look fuzzy. It can almost wonder like, God, what are you doing? Or like Apostle said in a meeting one time, God, what are we doing? Not like, what are we doing as people, but what are we, us and him, doing? What are we doing? So let me share with you a prophetic word that the Lord gave me about 3 weeks ago. And I had the opportunity to release it in two different spaces, but I'm going to release it here and tie it back into our confidence in our covenant with Jesus. Because every promise of God is secure because of the covenant we have with him. And covenant, when God extends an invitation and tells us what he's going to do with us and through us, it's an invitation to transition. Let's look at Genesis 12. Genesis 12, chapter 1. And I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Now, this is very familiar, but let's get a little context. A couple of chapters before this, Abraham's father had died. They had lived in a land, and it talks about Abraham's father, Abraham's brother. Abraham's brother fathered Lot. Abraham's brother died, and so then they began taking care of Lot. They were setting out to the land of Canaan, but then they stopped and settled in a different place. They were going to a destination, but stopped and settled there. And then where they settled is where Abraham's father died. And so now Abraham has inheritance because he's in a land, and he has land that he received from his father. He has other relatives, plus he's taking care of Lot, his nephew. Now God tells him to go from your country, from your relatives, your father's house. Now, but a lot of times when we read that, we think your father's house, like he was leaving his dad already, but his dad had already transitioned. So Abraham had to step away from inheritance. What he thought was his inheritance, where his security is or was, God now says, leave it. Leave the family members that were right there in that place. Leave that place and go to a place I will show you. So now Abraham gets this invitation to step into a promise of God, to enter into a new level of covenant relationship with God where there are no security blankets. I believe many of us are experiencing transition and invitation to walk in the fullness of a promise from God where there are no security blankets. There are no plan Bs, it's only plan G, which is plan God. And so that invitation brought him into a transition because he had to leave. But the covenant is, I'm gonna bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so Abraham leaves, he accepts this invitation, now he's in this space of transition. He probably did not think it would take him 25 years to see the beginning of the fulfillment, because he had to believe for 25 years for him and Sarah to produce Isaac. Isaac was just the first dude. And the promise was father of many nations. See, sometimes in transition, it seems like the warfare comes for you to produce the first fruit. But you have to remain confident in the covenant. I remember 5 years ago, the Lord spoke that very phrase to me when I was sitting in LA, Los Angeles, at a conference. Val and I flew in, went straight to this conference. While at the conference, I had gotten into a car accident the week before. So while I'm at the conference, they're emailing me and telling me my car is totaled and deemed as a total loss. And I'm like, what you mean? You can't just put that part back on the front? And I'm sitting there, what people would call unemployed, because I had been through some battle, saw victory, got moved to another position, which was guised as a promotion. But then when budget cuts came, my position was cut. An apostle recently said, listen, they hustled you and fired you. So it was a sneaky, low way of firing and getting rid of me. And because a budget thing did happen across every school district in the area, I was on there applying for other positions, but nobody was hiring. In fact, they were cutting. So now I'm sitting there like, Jesus, I got all these degrees. What we doing? I thought this position was my inheritance. I thought I was going to spend my days enjoying being an elementary school principal, making kids laugh, helping them learn. I thought we had it planned out. But God disrupted my plans. He allowed something negative to be the catalyst to get me where he had ultimately called me to be. And so I was sitting there in this conference, Val and I were sitting there, and the Lord spoke to me and said, do you trust my covenant? And when I said, yes, I do, that was the thing that said, okay, I'm in this for real, no plan B. Just me and you, Jesus. A lot of times, negative situations that are meant to destroy you, God will use them to make you. While he doesn't cause them, he doesn't put things on you to teach you nothing, because that's what people who don't have understanding will say, because they learn something, they think God did it to teach me. No, he didn't do it to teach you. The enemy did it to destroy you, but because God is so masterful, he took what was meant to destroy you and used it to form you and to propel you. And so this invitation to transition is one that I believe God is extending to all of us. And I don't think he's inviting us to transition. Let me shift that. I think he's put us in a transition already, whether you accepted the invitation or not. Because the body of Christ is being strategically positioned. And you are being strategically positioned. Because when you hear words about the body of Christ, sometimes we think about the generals of the faith and the people we see on social media and stuff. But he's talking about you. He strategically positioned you to step into a dimension you've never been in before and to walk with God in ways you haven't been before. And in this way, in this dimension, you have to trust in his covenant, because every security blanket you have has been removed. Your trust in people is being demolished. Not saying you have to distrust people, but sometimes, Annette, you know, sometimes we could depend on people. We know who to call when we need help. Everybody call you, though. You know, people, we know who to call. But the Lord is saying, listen, I'm inviting you into this space where you call me before you call them. And those who've been the one everybody has called, he's giving you relief, because he's saying, listen, you've never been meant to carry the burdens of other people like that. And so in this space of transition, this is what the Lord told me in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I'm going to read it and I'm going to tell you what he said. It says, now these are the ones who came to David at Ziklag while he was still restricted because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men who helped him in war. Now, it says David was still restricted because of Saul. The King James says arrested. But a couple of chapters back, Saul had died in battle. We know David was in hiding because Saul was trying to kill him. David had been anointed to be king a long time ago. But he didn't step into that fulfillment until later. See, we have to recognize that there is a process in between the anointed to be and walking in the fulfillment. And we can't skip that process, because if we do, the warfare will be heavier and more challenging and harder. Because in the process, we become the new wineskin for the new wine. In that process, we shed the things that are not supposed to be a part of us. And so I believe prophetically, there's, like Pastor Deborah said a couple of weeks ago, there's some shedding of some things that are not supposed to be a part of us that absolutely cannot go. And I'm going to tell you, God is one who honors our free will, but I sense in this season, he's making people go whether they want to or not. There are people who don't want to mature. God is going to make you mature. There are people who don't want to walk close. He's going to make you walk close. Because what's happening in this season goes beyond your free will and your desire and what you think. It's about you being in position for him to fulfill his perfect plan in the earth. And so David was still restricted or arrested. But this is the time where they came to make him king, like in fulfillment of the word. I believe in this season, there are restrictions being removed off of you. Where there has been a container or a lid on you, those restrictions are being removed. This is a time of freedom in God. And I believe because we are stepping into this place of freedom and fulfillment of the word, there's, and I don't want people to be like, ooh, promotion coming, but there is an elevation coming. An elevation in the realm of the spirit, because you're going to have to walk in a new dimension with God. There's an elevation coming in the natural, because people are going to see your walk with God. There are things and even people that are about to fall off of you. And I hear that prophetically for you, Kiva. There are people in your circle that are about to drop off. You're going to look up and be like, where'd they go? Because there are people that are like entanglements that are, they're not even pulling you in the wrong direction, but they are pulling to try to stop your forward motion because they don't want you to be ahead of them in their eyes. Because if you do this, if you do that, you're going to be ahead of them, and that's going to highlight their insecurity more. But I hear the Lord saying that he's breaking that in those entanglements. And it's almost like I see like a machete cutting a rope. And it's almost like, you know how when you go to the gym and they do CrossFit and they had a thing around them and they're trying to run and they pull the weight? It's like that, but there's now some cutting and you're about to accelerate. So David had to step into the fulfillment of the word, and there was restrictions being removed from him because he transitioned. Say transition. Sometimes transition look messy. It doesn't look like stuff is falling off. It almost look like stuff is being piled on. But we're in transition. God is transitioning us. And transitions begin the moment the invitation is released. Abraham's transition began the moment God started speaking and said, get away from your father's house. And transitions are about God moving us into the spaces in him that we've always been designed to be. No more living beneath who we have been designed to be. God is going to force a transition. And for some of you, it's going to hurt. But there is grace and there is mercy. This is how, when it says in Romans, let's read it, Romans chapter 4. Because we have to be let's not go there. Go to 2 Kings chapter 2. I want to show you something else. We'll go to Romans chapter 4 later. 2 Kings chapter 2. We know in 2 Kings chapter 2 there was a transition. Elijah was about to be taken to heaven. Elijah was about to walk in the fulfillment of the word that God spoke to Elijah. Remember Elijah, when he was plowing behind 12 oxen, Elijah came and threw his cloak over him, his mantle. Because God had told Elijah to anoint him to be his successor. But see, Elijah didn't immediately start saying, oh, I'm the successor of the prophet, and start prophesying. He began to serve Elijah. He's serving for this season of time, and the scripture doesn't tell us how long it is, but we know it was a long period of time. He became known for washing the hands of Elijah. So now this transition is happening. All the prophets know it, but Elijah had this posture to say, look, don't talk about it. I know today is the day, but don't talk about it. Because see, sometimes talking about it in the wrong way will have you so focused on the future that you miss what God is doing in the moment of transition. In transition, we have to have this dual vision where we see what the Lord is doing in the moment, but we also see the future. And sometimes the future has all the what ifs. And so we have to focus on the moment and focus on the covenant. And that's what happened with Elijah. Because everywhere they went to three different places. They went to Gilgal. Then they went to Bethel. And then they crossed the Jordan. Every time they went somewhere, Elijah said, stay here. And Elijah said, no, as surely as the Lord lives, I'm not leaving. because he knew his assignment wasn't up, even though he knew transition was happening. See, sometimes we have to know, even in the middle of transition, we have to discern when the assignment is fully complete. We don't want to jump out too soon before the assignment is fully complete, even though things are shifting. Because if Elijah would have jumped out even then, he would have missed the ask. Because they crossed the Jordan, and Elijah had struck the water with his mantle and divided it, and they crossed over on dry ground. And then verse 9 says, when they crossed over, Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I should do for you before I'm taken from you. Elijah said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Elijah knew what to ask in the moment of transition. So in moments of transition, my encouragement is for you to ask God what you should be asking for. Because sometimes we don't know what to ask for. We'd be like, listen, God, well, it'd be good to have some more money. It'd be good to have this paid off, that paid off. It'd be good to have this happen for this relative or that happen. Some may even say, help these relatives get saved. And none of those asks are bad. But in the moment, we have to ask the right thing. And so Elijah recognized, I need to be watching. I need to be on post. And I need to know what to ask. Then I need to ask it. And believe I receive it. Because he asked, Elijah said, look, if you see me when I'm taken up, you'll have it. And guess what? He saw. Because he was in the posture of watching, of discerning, and trusting. What is it that God wants to release to you while you are in the middle of transition? What does God want to impart into you in the middle of transition? And notice Elijah was watching Elijah. He wasn't watching the other prophets. So who is it and where is that impartation supposed to come from? Because in moments of transition, there will be false opportunities for false impartations. So he received a double portion of the mantle. And that meant everything. Because when you study out mantles in the Old Testament, it not only signified their office, it signified how revenue would come to them. There are mantles upon you that signifies what will be drawn and how it will be drawn to you as you step into who God has called you to be in this season. Also, in this transition, because things are breaking off, because we need to know what we need to watch and know what we need to ask Holy Spirit to help us, what we need to ask for. There's an invitation in this transition for consecration. There's an invitation to be still before the Lord. There's an invitation to stop being so busy so he could speak. And an invitation to allow him to do an internal work in us. Because there are things in us he's doing that can't even be articulated. There are times when God would do something in us and won't even tell us what he's doing. We'll just recognize after the fact, wait a minute, something's different. I would have responded this way. Because there's something happening in us. There's something happening in you, Eric. He's doing something in us. And we see that all throughout Scripture in Joshua chapter 3. Before that generation was about to go into the promised land, remember, their restrictions were broken. For them, their restriction was a whole generation of people who had unbelief. Because taking the promised land was above their faith grade. You've heard the phrase, you know, in corporate, they say, oh, that was above my pay grade, meaning above their level of authority. Well, for them, their unbelief caused something that was supposed to be theirs to not be theirs. They thought it was above their faith grade. They didn't want to believe for it. And so now that restriction of unbelief has been removed. And I sense that for somebody as well. The things that have caused unbelief, disbelief, or doubt is being removed right now. There's a new level of faith that's about to just hit you. You're not even going to know where it came from or how it came. But there's a new level of faith being released to you right now. A faith that says God said it, that settles it, and that's it. A faith that's not dependent upon anyone praying or hearing anyone say a word, teach a word, preach a word, prophesy a word, sing a word. It's just a faith that says, you know, because you know. Now, they are ready to go in Joshua chapter 3, verse 3. What does he tell them to do? He says, consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders among you. Some people are praying for wonders to be done among them, but haven't consecrated. I'm telling you, this invitation to consecrate yourself is to set yourself apart, to pull away, because the Lord is doing wonders among you. We see it again in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12, when David is about to move the ark. This is his second attempt, and his successful attempt. The first time he tried to move it, he put it on a cart, a new donkey, in a new cart. He thought, if I just do this new thing, maybe that'll be the container by which the presence of God can flow. Sometimes, even though God says, I'm doing a new thing, sometimes the new thing is us doing the thing that he has said and not just thinking of something different to do. And so they did it on the cart to try to transport the ark the first time, and it didn't work because that's not how God commanded them to carry it. It almost fell off the cart. Somebody touched it to keep it from falling, and they died. See, things will not produce, and life cannot be produced like it's supposed to when we don't carry presence the way God has prescribed. When we try to do it our own way, even though it may seem good, sound good, a new initiative, a new strategy, a new this, a new that, if it ain't what God has said, there will be no life. So this second time, David is like, I learned better. The priests are going to carry the ark on the shoulder because he said this, we didn't seek counsel from God the first time. So in this time of transition and consecration, you need to be seeking counsel from God. Before you speed dial and hit somebody on your favorite, they need to seek counsel from God. Before they call you Nina, you should ask them, did you seek God? Before they call you Annette, ask them, what did the Lord say? Seek counsel from God, Destiny. Before they call you, did you seek the Lord? Did you pray in the Holy Ghost? What did you sense after you heard it? And so now they're about to carry the ark the way God has said. And David says this to the Levites, consecrate yourself. Because there is a pattern. There is a way we have to do things to be in alignment with God. We have to have the posture of consecration. This posture of consecration keeps us in the place where we'll be like Abraham in Romans 4, where it says, Romans 4, 19, 18 says, in hope, against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which is spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated some translations say contemplated not his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, that consecration would keep you from being weak in faith when things don't look like how you think they should look. When things look counterproductive, that consecration lets you trust the covenant to know that God is going to produce. Because it said, verse 20 says, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and allowing God to get the glory. Because that staggered, where it says he staggered not, that Greek word refers to doubting, hesitating, doubting, hesitation, withdrawing, opposing. To have a difference because of preference. He didn't allow his preference to interfere with his faith because he trusted his covenant. He didn't hesitate because he trusted covenant. He didn't withdraw. He didn't doubt because he trusted covenant. And then it also means to be in strife with oneself. In this season, God is going to get you to stop arguing with yourself. Because you want to believe one minute, but the next minute you don't. You're arguing, you're striving with yourself and against yourself. For some of you, it's not the enemy that you're contending with, it's you. And in this season, when you get into this space of consecration, you stop contending with you. Because you put your emotions and your mind and your flesh under subjection. God is inviting us to come closer. Now, I'm not saying God is calling a fast. I'm not saying that. Whatever the Lord is telling you to do, that shall you do. If he's telling you to fast, do that. If he's telling you to pull away more, do that. But I just know there's an invitation. And for some, it's not a pulling away more. It's a pulling away, period. Because some have lost the discipline because time has stolen time from God. And God is releasing this call like he did to Adam. Where are you? Not where are you physically, where are you? Where are you? Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna stop there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say confidence.
Confidence.
In the covenant.
In the covenant.
Confidence.
Confidence.
In the covenant. I want you to respond to the invitation. So just take a moment. This is one of the great places where I could say something really phenomenal, but I don't have nothing phenomenal to say. I'm just repeating what the Lord is saying. I want you in your own words to just respond to the Lord. Respond to this invitation to surrender, to come closer. To not allow the weight of what you're doing to keep you from relationship with him. And to walk with him in a deeper way. To where your relationship isn't all about what you want to talk about. Because there's so much peace in Jesus when you just show up and say, here I am. What do you want to talk about? There's so much peace. So just take a moment and talk to him in your own words. Respond to the invitation. Thank you, Lord.